This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Priorities. On the count of three, I want everybody to say priorities. Here we go, one, two, three. And it's so important that we have everything where it's supposed to be in order in our lives. And to the degree that we keep Jesus first, that we keep him at the top of the list, how many know that he will take care of the rest of the list in our lives? Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you do this, all these other things will be added unto you. So let's recap. The first Sunday of the month, that was the first lesson in this series. I told you that if I was mentoring your neighbor and I was just going to talk straight to them, these are the things I would tell them. And that's what we talked about. And then the second week, we talked about the priority of prayer. That prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Then we talked about the priority of focus the next week, that whatever you think on the longest becomes the strongest. And that is why you have to focus on your relationship with God, focus on your family, focus on your goals, things like that. And then we talked about the priority of rest. And we explained the Sabbath and how God wanted us to have a day of rest to show us that he could provide for us supernaturally, because God doesn't want you worn out, but he does want you to prosper. Can I get a... And then we talked last week on the priority of winning the lost. It was such a good lesson. I handed out some cards to you, and I hope that you're at least praying about them. Maybe you've written one or two of the five names down by now, and you're working on that kingdom multiply. So I told you guys that I was going to do an evangelism training on Saturday, March 9th. I realized I have to do that on Tuesday, March the 5th, all right? And so that in the upcoming weeks, they'll announce that. But I know a lot of you had already put it on your calendar, Saturday, March 9th. But unfortunately, I have to change it to Tuesday, March 5th at 6:30. And that's going to be just how to win souls, whether it's just, you know, on my job or, you know, my neighbors or just my family members, people I know. Or, you know, what about if I want to go on one of the teams that's going out into the community? You know, how do I do that? And so we're going to talk about all of it. You coming to that training does not mean you have to go out. I understand that that's for a specific set of people who feel like, hey, you know, I can go out and talk to strangers, right? I get it. Everybody can't do that and never feel bad about something you can't do. Does that make sense? Because everybody has their own niche. They have their own uniqueness. They have their own thing that they do. And so, we want to talk about the priority of faith. The priority of faith. You know, I cannot let a series go without talking about faith, right? Like, I'm a man of faith, right? Faith is the most important subject, that a believer needs to know after getting saved. So once I've gotten saved and I'm giving my life to Jesus, I need to learn faith, because I need to know how to walk this Christian life out. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants me to be victorious. I need to figure this thing out. Amen? And so that's what we want to talk about today. And right in the middle of my lesson, I did not have you all greet one another. So let's make sure that we wave to everyone on our aisle, say hello to everybody. All right. If you're sitting next to someone you don't know, please find out their name, because you don't want to sit by someone the whole time and not know their name. Isn't that right? Yeah. Because if you're here, you're family. Isn't that right? All right, that's good. Laughter is good medicine, right? Okay, yeah. So it's just really important to me that we don't come into this, you know, to this sanctuary, and, you know, I want everyone to leave better than they came. Right? I want you to have a personal awareness of people around you and those kind of things. If you've been here a really long time, you might notice, oh, there's somebody I've never met before. Go meet them. You got it. You'll be surprised how amazing they are, right? And so just make sure that you do that. Okay, thank you for doing that. All right, so I want to make a statement. Where you are right now, everybody say right now. Right now. And what you have, everybody say right now. Right now. It's not final, okay? It is subject to the law of faith, all right? And you have to understand that because especially if you're in a tough spot or not where you want to be, you know, the enemy and even people will try to tell you, it's just always going to be like that. Just accept it. No, you don't. If it's not in the word, if it's not your portion, you don't accept that, right? And so you have to understand that it takes the same process of faith to believe for a piece of bread as it does a loaf of bread. So you might as well believe for the loaf. I mean, if you're going to dream, you might as well dream big. If you're going to believe, you might as well believe big. And the key is learning to live by faith. Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? By your paycheck. By who's in office. It didn't say any of that, right? We live by faith. Those of us that are declared right because of the blood of Jesus, we live by faith. 1 John 5 and 4 says, for whatsoever, or you could say whosoever, and that would be you, is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we see how important it is to learn faith and to live by faith, because whether you realize it or not, you have been designed and engineered by God through faith to overcome every challenge that ever comes your way. I'm telling you, you are an overcomer. You got it? You are not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror, right? So Jesus conquered for us, watch this, and did some things that we didn't have to do. And that's what made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so you have to understand. Now when like challenges are inevitable, we know that, right? And if you're going through a challenge, it doesn't mean you've done anything. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. You'll go through a challenge, then the enemy will try to bring up something you did 47 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? In an effort to try to bring shame to diminish your faith, right? But what you have to understand is that challenges are inevitable. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so, but God doesn't stop there. He makes a promise, but I will deliver him out of them all. And so no matter what I go through, we serve a God who's made a commitment that he's never going to leave us, that he's never going to forsake us, and that he's going to be with us until the end. So when I'm facing a challenge, I'm going to give you four different ways people respond. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the last way is the way you need to respond, number four, all right? So look at your neighbor and tell them, look for number four, look for number four. All right. So you know, I'm the type of teacher where, you know, yeah, I want to give you the test and I want to make sure you pass the test, praise the Lord. All right. So there's several ways you can respond to challenges. Number one is flight. Flight. This is when I do not want to accept or face a situation. I just take off, I run, and that's just not the way to do things, all right? The second one is fear. This is when the situation causes me to doubt God and his word. And fear, the Bible teaches us that fear brings torment, right? That's the whole idea of fear, to get you scared and to get you in torment, not to be able to sleep at night, to overthink, to think you're going to die, all that stuff. The Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those are those negative thoughts that come from the enemy that are not true. You got it? And so what happens is you have to cast those things down. That's why the writer says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are these houses of negative thoughts that can reside in your mind that came from the enemy, that came from a bad situation, that came from people that talk negative into your life. And then the writer doesn't stop there. He says, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God. And watch this, class, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes in certain situations and seasons in your life, that can be a full-time job. Because, you know, has anybody besides me ever been dealing with a situation? You cast a thought down, here comes another thought. Then you cast a thought down, here comes another thought. And I'm not talking about you doing anything bad. I'm talking about just normal stuff. I remember when Jay, you know, left a couple years ago for the Navy, man. You know, I was so excited. I knew I had taught him everything, you know, that I could. You know, I mean, I can't teach him everything, but everything I learned, you know, we did the PT thing. I knew he had that down, you know. But, you know, the enemy still tried to tell me, this going to happen to him and that's going to happen to him. And I had to work overtime to cast all those things down because I know that, man, listen, he's in the arms of Jesus. He's going to be all right. Like, God's got him, right? And so what I did was, Lady and I, we made it. Well, I started a confession that I typed up, and I sent it to Lady, and then she sent it back to me and made it much longer. You got it? And we had this long confession. And so anytime the enemy tried to do that, man, I pull my phone out, and I start reading that confession. You got it? Why? Because if I keep saying what the Word says and keep saying what the Word says, I'm going to see it manifest in my life. Does that make sense? And so you have to have a conviction that I'm not going to get caught up in fear, because fear is the opposite of faith, all right? The Bible says we walk by faith. We don't walk by fear. And so fear has torment, but because you are in Him and He is perfect love, the Bible says that He cast out all fear. So if you ever feel a situation that's where the spirit of fear is trying to come on you, man, you need to get into God's presence. And perfect love cast out all fear. That's good stuff right there, isn't it? Amen. So we could respond in flight. We're not going to do that. We could respond in fear. We're not going to do that. We could respond in, number three, frustration. This is when the plan I have isn't working. And let me help you when it comes to frustration, when the plan you have isn't working. When I have a plan that isn't working, I need to do one or two things. You got it? Of course, we're talking about praying. We know the spiritual part, right? But then in the natural, I need to go back and say, okay, Lord, do I need to recalibrate my plan? Or Lord, do I need to change my plan? And you need to be open to whatever God wants to do in your life. Does that make sense? So I could respond in flight. I could respond in fear. I could respond in frustration. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to respond in faith. And this is the way that God wants us all to respond. So my drummer boys came back for the second service to sit and listen to me for the second service. How many of them is it that played?
Oh, Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Ooh, I just made it. Come here, fellas. Come here. And ladies, come here, everybody. Come on. You got to move quickly when it's money, brother. That's right. He says, say less. Say less. Say less. You're welcome. You're welcome. Y'all did a good job. We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much. Thank you. Don't you let them bully you. You got it. You got them. All right. All right. All right. We'll see y'all next year. Praise the Lord. All right, so now, walking by faith, all right, has a lot to do with, number one, understanding the Word of God, and that is why Pastor teaches you the Word of God in a simplistic manner so you can understand it, right? And so when I talk about, you know, getting, you know, I want you to get this revelation, a revelation is simply an understanding of the Word of God at your level of comprehension that brings conviction and clarity to live different. They don't have that on the screen. I'm just flowing in the Holy Ghost right now, right? And so you need a revelation. Everybody say revelation. You need an understanding of the Word of God at your level of comprehension that brings conviction and clarity to live different. That when I get this Word, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, man, I am honed in on this Word. This Word has done something to me because the Word is ever living. It is life. And so everything could look dark around me, but as long as I got this Word, I got the light. You got it? And everything is going to be okay. And so a walking by faith has a lot to do with, number one, understanding the Word. You got it? And so that's why I teach it to you in a way you can understand it. And then number two, trusting in the Word of God, even if you don't see it working in your life. Because let me help you, it's working even if you don't see it's working. Does that make sense? So there's two worlds, right? There's a natural world that I can see that I'm living in, and there's a spiritual world that I cannot see. And the spiritual world is more real than the natural world because the natural world is dependent on the spiritual world. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand that the moment, you know, when we're in Mark 11, and it's hard to teach faith. I don't have it in my notes, but it's hard to teach faith without at least referencing Mark 11. And he says, if you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I have what I say, so that teaches me to only say what I want, and I should only say what the Word of God says. Right? But then when you keep reading that and you go down, you got it. It tells you that when ye pray, it didn't say if ye pray. It says when ye pray, believe that you receive and ye shall have. Right? And so now I've got to understand that the moment I pray and I say, what are we praying for? Talk to me. Healing. Okay, thank you. All right. So, Father, I come to you in the magnificent name of Christ Jesus, declaring that this is the day that you have made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I just thank you for touching my body. I declare complete and total healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I bind the hand of the enemy in every attack that is not like God. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I receive healing virtue flowing through my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I thank you that healing is the children's bread, that it is for me. I declare I am not the sick trying to get healed, but I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am healed. I thank you for it. I believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. The moment I say amen, right? Right? Watch this. Amen. So be it. Amen means it's already done, right? Amen means I agree, right? And the moment that I pray, you got it? The Bible said that angels are on assignment to speedily bring forth the will of God to my life, right? And so the moment that I pray, there are some things that are happening in the spirit realm. And even if I can't see them, I know it's just a matter of time till it shows up in my life. Right? And so that is why I say, even if you can't see it working, it doesn't mean it's not working. Because if I believe God's word and I'm standing on God's word and I'm applying God's word, it has to work in my life. Let's use something different. Let's say you're praying for a loved one. You got it. It could be a child or a grandchild. Could be somebody that's unsaved in your family or just something like that. And then, let me help you. You see, what you're doing is you're praying the prayer of intercession. All right. So now you're praying for them. And so what happens is you can't get faint or you can't lose heart when you don't see it working. Right. Because, see, when the will of others is involved, their will really overrides your will. Right. Because God's not going to make us do anything. But what happens is I'm now praying for the Holy Spirit to intervene and soften their heart so that way they'll be more apt to God's will in my life. So if that little joker seemed like he getting worse before he get better, don't lose heart. Does that make sense? So what do I do, Pastor, when it seemed like that little booger, he at it, Pastor. What do I do? I keep saying what I've been saying. I don't stop. I don't change my confession. I keep declaring the word of the Lord and keep declaring the word of the Lord over their lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. I mean, that's the way it doesn't matter how tough it is. I start praying, and man, when I really get the Holy Ghost, arrest them in the spirit. Let them be restless at night when they sleep. You got it? If drinking is a problem, the next time they drink, let it be a bad taste in their mouth. You understand? I mean, if smoking's a problem, the next time they get the herb, make them choke on the herb. Now, don't kill them, Jesus. Don't kill them, Lord. Right? They need a natural sign to see I don't need to be doing this stuff. Father, put people in their path that they will listen to, that will set an example for them. Does that make sense? And so that's what you have to do. And so you have to trust God's word. 2 Corinthians 5:7, very familiar passage of scripture, says, "For we walk by and not by." I need you to understand something, that exposure to the word alone doesn't mean it will manifest in your life. Okay, don't take that the wrong way, but you have to receive the word in faith. The Bible talks about, how they that received the word and talked about the stony ground, the good ground, and those kind of things. And so Hebrews 4:2 really breaks it down. So let's go to Hebrews 4:2. And you have to understand that two people can come to this same amazing church and get two different results, and it wouldn't be the pastor's fault. Here we go. "For unto us was the gospel preached." Unto who? Us, as well as unto Pookie and them. All right? So preach us, preach to Pookie and them, right? "But the word did not" what? So the word, the Bible shows us that the word profits us. If, watch this, we mix it with faith. He says, "But the word did not profit Pookie and them because they did not mix it with faith in them that heard it." Now, I got some Pookies in my family, so I ain't knocking on nobody. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody got some. If you go to the family reunion, you got a Pookie. You got a Pookie. All right. You got one, right? Yeah, I'm telling you, everybody, they acting like they don't. They all got Pookies. I tell you what, next June or July, when you go down to the family reunion, just stand up and say, "Hey, Pookie," you're going to be able to see about 4 or 15 heads. Okay, all right. Get serious, Pastor. I got six minutes, all right? So you can come to the same church. Hear me, class. You can. I know I'm not going to get through it, but that's okay because I can see where the Holy Spirit's taking me. You can come to the same church, hear the exact same word, and get two different results, because when you come to this church, you have to have an open heart to receive. You got it? There has to be an expectation that, watch this, my man of God or my woman of God or Pastor Pat or whoever's up teaching, that when they're preaching and teaching the word of God, you got to, I am ready to receive. Like, this is good ground. My heart, this soil of my heart is good ground. So when they say it, it's in the word. So therefore, it's got to be so. So if pastor says I'm healed, guess what? If pastor says I'm blessed, guess what? Because I found it in the word of God. We didn't have to go to a book and read it somewhere. We read it from the word of God, which is the final authority in our lives. And we got to get to a point where you believe the word of God regardless of what's going on in your life. Does that make sense? You got to believe it regardless of what's going on in your life. Whew, this is good. All right. Oh, man. When I teach you, when I'm in series on faith, a lot of times I'll teach you there's five justifiable expectations in faith. And when I'm in faith, number one, I need a plan of action. Number two, I need the wisdom of God to have the correct application of knowledge for the situation I'm in. Number three, I need the favor of God. And that means he'll raise up someone somewhere to use their power, their influence, and their ability to help me. Number four, I need a miracle because I believe in miracles. And if God wants to move supernaturally, he can move supernaturally. And then number five, the fifth one, which I think I'm not going to say is more important because they're all important, but it's really big. It is strength to endure until change comes. And a lot of times we need that strength to endure until change comes. All right. We need strength to endure until change comes, because I'm telling you that God is a deliverer. Did you hear what I said? God is a deliverer. Everybody say God is a deliverer. And the Bible teaches us that God is a deliverer. And so you have to, I'm going all the way down my list, all right? Y'all in the back, this lesson is just, it's on me now, all right? 2 Timothy, the third chapter and the 11th verse. 2 Timothy, the third chapter and the 11th verse. Paul was going through a lot of persecution. And he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord did what, class? Delivered me. You got it? Because God is a deliverer. And I want you to understand today that God is a deliverer and he wants to deliver you. That God is a helper and he wants to help you. You got it? That God is a restorer and he wants to restore you. And so what you have to do is you have to come in with the heart of expectation that says, God, I want to be delivered. Or God, I want to be comforted. Or God, I want to be strengthened. Or God, I want to be healed. And if you can want to be what he wants to do, then it'll work for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. And in my 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, everybody say, if you had time. If I had time, I would talk to you about the persecution, and I would explain the persecution. Nowadays, ain't nobody going to kill you and stuff like in the Bible. You know, thank God, folks sue you before they do anything to you nowadays. But, you know, persecution's only effective to the degree that you need acceptance from the one talking. If you don't need acceptance, it don't matter. So don't fight with folks. The Bible says follow peace with all men and holiness, for without which no man shall see the Lord. It is the peaceful attitude that causes me to have a clear picture of who God is and what he wants to do in my life. Falling out with people affects how I see God. So for no other reason, just to have a clear picture of who God is and what he's doing in my life. I mean, lady would tell you, I don't know how, what's it been, maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, I got to the point, I ain't fighting with nobody. Like, I ain't fighting with nobody. You got it? Now, you know, I'm because I've got it made up in my mind that God wants to do too much in my life. And I ain't falling out with people. And there's too many people dependent on me. Come on, somebody. And there's too many people dependent on you. Does that make sense? So we got to keep ourselves together and stay in faith and stay in this word so we can live the life that God wants us to live, right? And don't worry about it, all right? You know, and so don't worry about persecution or, someone don't like something. Don't worry about that. The Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. You got it? Don't focus on the foolishness. Focus on the word. What did I say? Don't focus on the foolishness. Focus on the word. All right. Let's go home, Maestro. Can I give you a little bit of word? All right, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. If I'm going to tell you to focus on the word, let me give you a few scriptures before we leave, all right? No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that what? God will never let you down. My God. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. John 16 and 33, I have told you these things, this is Jesus, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Do you know it's God's will for you to have perfect peace? In the world, you're going to have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer. He says, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. Everybody say, focus on the word. Luke 10 and 19, behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. Focus on the word. Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, what are we, class? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Focusing on the word. One more. Hebrews 13 and 5 in the Amplified. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed and avarice and lust and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstance and with what you have. For he, God himself, who? God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. This is God. He says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. I will not relax my hold on you, assuredly not. What a promise. That I don't care what's going on in your life. That God says, I'm not going to leave you. Let's stand up all over the building. How many know when things seem at their worst, God's still at his best? And that's what you got to hold on to. If a situation seems like it's at the worst, sometimes things take you by surprise, but they don't take God by surprise. And God already knows what he's going to do. This past week, man, lady and I, you know, just going through our busy schedules in our lives like always. And then the other day, I just started not feeling my best. Not a bad confession, just factual, you know, and those kinds of things. And, you know, and I just thought it was a little thing. And, you know, make a long story short, I guess I don't even like to use, y'all know me, I'm such a faith guy. I don't use words like food poisoning and all those kind of things. But bottom line is, we went to a restaurant. I'm not going to tell you which one it was because it ain't no big deal and I ain't mad. You got, you need to go and put a review. No, I ain't going to do that. All right. But you know, bottom line is it didn't agree with me, all right? And, you know, because I'm not confessing food poison over my life. I just ain't going to do that. But it you know, took Brother Man out for a few days. And I was just kind of laying there, and I just couldn't do much. And I remember Lady left that morning, and I had been praying and, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, okay, so by the time Lady comes back, if I'm still feeling like this, I'm going to the doctor, right? Because I believe in the doctor. Like, I don't know why people don't believe in the doctor. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not that they don't believe in the doctor. It's the spirit of fear tries to attach itself to you. You got it? And you got to understand that God has given us doctors to help us. If you know something's going on in your body, don't run from the doctor. Run to the doctor. Now, if you go to one and you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. Just go to a different doctor. But don't just give up on the whole medical system because you don't, you know. And so, anyways, I was feeling really bad. I mean, just really. And I was laying there. And, man, I had enough strength to lift up my hand because I said, man, I'm going to worship God in spite of. And so, man, I just lifted up my hand, and I just started to worship God. I just started talking about how great he was. I started just kind of praying the spirit a little bit. And then I was really tired. I was just like, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And then I ended up putting my hand down, and then I guess I fell asleep, man. And then when I woke up, and I said, oh, man, I'm feeling a little bit better. You got it? Now, of course, lady said, okay, you ain't about to get up and start jumping around. And so I continued to rest because wisdom is the principal thing. But I continued to rest, but I still worshiped while I rested. And maybe we need to understand that when we get in tough situations, and they might be tough and you didn't know what was going to happen. And yes, not right. And it's unfair. And I get all that stuff. But sometimes you have to forget about all that stuff and just focus on Jesus. That he's the author and the finisher of your faith. And he's there, right there, to help you through whatever it is that you're going through. You know, the devil's telling you, you ain't going to be able to go to church and preach on Sunday. You ain't going to be, you know, and if you listen to the devil, he'll take it way further than it needs to be. He'll have me thinking I'm dying. Come on, somebody. It was just some bad salmon. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? So what I'm saying is, you know, and I'm not putting this on you when I say the next time something happens, but if we live long enough, things happen. You got it. Things come up. You got it. But when something comes up, take the word of God, take your faith, attack the enemy, and get the victory. Does that make sense? Father, I thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. And I declare in the name of Jesus that they are full of faith. I declare in the name of Jesus that they are who you say they are. They're not sick, but they're healed. They're not poor, but they're rich. They're not defeated, but they have the victory. They're not alone, but they have a friend. I declare they can do all things through Christ who strengthened them. I declare in their lives that things are getting better. Relationships are getting better. Financial situations are getting better in the name of Jesus. Their children are getting better. Their careers are getting better. They're overcoming bad habits and bad addictions in the name of Jesus. They're walking in freedom. And so, Father, I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.